Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi, and welcome to this very special episode where we're going to be talking about addictions to chemical substances. So we're going to be talking about alcoholism. We're going to be talking about also dependency on other stimulants, whether that's medicated, prescribed drugs, or illegal drugs, and how that affects relationships. If you're a suffering addict, then my heart goes out to you. And if you're living with someone who is chemically dependent, my heart also goes out to you. It's a very difficult place to be for both the person who has the addiction and all of the family that is affected around them. And sometimes it's not just the spouse or the person in the relationship. It can be any children if they're involved, or wider family, and also friends and extended family. So it can affect a lot more people than just the couple. But for today, we're going to be focusing on the couple in the relationship, how it affects the dynamics if one person is addicted. So let's start by looking at who decides when drinking drugs is a problem in a marriage. Ennie, do you have any thoughts on that?
So who decides when there's a problem, that this problem is occurring? Is it the person with the addiction? Is it the person that might be having this issue? Or is it the people that are around them? And really what I've found working, I've worked with a lot of people, especially with alcohol addiction, is it's a bit of a combination of both. Generally speaking, people who have a problem with alcohol, drugs, or you know, marijuana, stimulants, this type of thing, they tend to be a little unaware that this is creeping up on them. And generally speaking, drugs and alcohol problems sort of are, they grow over time, right? Now, the families and friends will generally notice the issues coming up. And it's really a combination of the two that have to decide, and they have to do it together. If an addicted person doesn't want to confront the fact that they have an addiction, there really is very little you can do. I mean, you can confront them about it, but as humans, we have such ingrained and deep-seated defense mechanisms for our egos that's very hard to confront addicted people. Now, the way that it has to be done is really with love. If you can inject as much love in as possible and say, look, I want you to be living the best life you can live. I think this thing's really hurting you. I think too much alcohol, you know, in the case of alcohol, it will usually be blackout drinking and social problems, monetary problems, losing jobs, constant drinking and lying about it, this type of thing. And it's the same with drugs as well, but they're slightly different. You know, we need to confront these issues with the addicted person, and they really need to admit it together and really identify this together. If it's a us versus them thing with addiction, if an alcoholic feels like everybody's against them and they're using the addiction to character assassinate them, then that is going to put the walls of defense up. And this is something that I've found as a general rule with alcoholics, and to a lesser extent, I've worked less with drug users, but as well with drug users as well. If the addiction is used against them as a stain on their character, of course their ego is going to want to defend itself and say, no, you know, yeah, I have a few drinks every so often, but everybody has a few drinks. And quite honestly, in our society, there is so much drugs and alcohol that everybody is doing a little bit of it, and it's very hard to draw the line between bona fide problems with alcohol and addiction and sort of medicinal or recreational use. So that's something I've found. I'd be very interested to hear what your findings are, Nicola, especially living in the Middle East where there's much more restriction on drugs and alcohol there.
Hi, sure. Well, there's definitely a restriction on drugs. Alcohol, actually, in certain of the GCC countries, is, despite what people may think, is actually quite widely available. So it really depends on obviously the couple, and like you say, it is a bit of both, who where the problem is noticed. What I would say is it's one thing to notice that it's a problem, but I think in order for a person to get help, they need to admit themselves that they are an addict. No one, I don't believe, can tell someone else they're an addict. They can say it's causing a problem in our life, it's causing chaos, it's causing the marriage to break down, it's causing arguments, it's causing hurt and heartache. I believe, they can say that. But really, for couples to get through this, they need to work together, as you mentioned, and they also need to just recognize that it's a problem. Actually, I don't believe we do need any labels like you're an alcoholic, you're an addict, you're this, you're that. I sometimes don't think that the labeling really helps people because what you want, it can alienate. And I love what you said, you need to inject it with love. So the first thing that most people go to do when they see someone addicted to drugs or alcohol is to make an ultimatum. To say, if you love me, you will stop. You've got a problem. You don't care about me. You don't care about your children. You need to do this. You need to do that. Do this, or I'm out of the door. And this is the wrong way to go about solving any relationship problem, even when we're talking with addictions. And I'll explain why. Because when you make a demand, when you say that this is what you has to happen and that this is your way and this is it, all you're doing is pushing that person away. And let's say they do what you say, they do change for you because you've restricted them, because you've made demands on them, because you've threatened many things to them. Say they do follow suit for you, it's not going to be lasting change most of the time because change for it to be lasting has to come from within. So you then need to play to their softer side and share, the problem it's causing for you, how you're seeing it as a problem, and also reassure them this isn't you. When they do wrong things, I've had lots of couples come where the wife has hurt the husband, where the husband has hurt the wife after drinking or been verbally abusive, or has put the chemical before other important things in life. And there have been arguments. However, you need to say to them, this isn't you. What you've changed, and this isn't you, and you are not this addiction. You are not this horrible behavior of whatever that horrible behavior was. This is not you. Let's get you back to the you that you are. Let's help you free you. When it comes to drugs, my experience working here, it has been with prescribed drugs where people unfortunately have gone through a medical illness of some kind or some kind of injury, and they've been given high levels of particular drugs, pain-killing drugs, and they've become addicted. And whether that's intentionally for some and unintentionally, they find that they cannot get through the pain at first of the throughout the day without it, and then they find that it has such good benefits of blocking out other areas of life that they then use it to just sleep through life or to completely switch off and not be there. So I identify, if we're going to say and label it an addiction, I identify an addiction as anything where you put the substance before other things in life that are important to you. And when it takes over and it takes control over certain areas of your life and it's not serving you, that is when it becomes a problem. Do you need to label it as an addiction to get help? Absolutely not. Do you need someone to say that they are a drug addict, an alcoholic? No. What you do need is you do need two people together to recognize that it's causing a problem. And I believe that to change any habit, no matter how deeply it is rooted, there needs to be a few things that need to happen. First of all, you need to give alternatives. You need to be able to help your partner or help yourself by swapping it with something else. So if you go out and drink, then you go out and you dance, or you go out and you walk, you cook, you read, you do something together. Have something just at the beginning to change that behavior. If you say to yourself, right, I'm just going to stop, and then you expect yourself to just sit at home and stare at the walls, you will go crazy, or you will find it very difficult. And the same applies to drugs. So you need to have alternatives of things you can do. And you also need to have support. And you also need to recognize that we are controlled by our thoughts and our willpower, yes, to some extent, but we also have a deep, powerful, unconscious mind. They say these days, research shows that 80 to 90% of our behavior is actually triggered by our unconscious mind. So I always combine hypnotherapy or some other meditational or unconscious process to get lasting results. Because if you're just working with your mind, you can talk yourself into drinking or not drinking. You can talk yourself into taking drugs or not taking drugs. You can talk yourself that you don't have a problem when you've just said you do have a problem. If you just rely on the mind, in my experience working with hundreds of couples to save their marriages with addictions, it doesn't work. You need to have a deeper process. I'd love to hear your thoughts, Eddie, on what I've shared and your insights with your experiences in this area.
Yeah, Nicola, I agree so wholeheartedly with everything you said there. And certainly labels don't help when you are not working with professionals and you're not confronting your issues. But certainly, and we can look to the biggest addiction help in the world, which is AA, and how they look at the start of your journey. If you're having a problem with drugs and alcohol, because a lot of drug users use AA as well. You mentioned just now you need alternatives. And in fact, the best alternative to using is actually going into therapy, right? And an actual active therapy consult, right? But the problem is most people can't afford to go into therapy at will every time they need it. So what's the solution here? Well, the solution is actually going into a group help therapy like AA, or there's also a Narcotics Anonymous, this type of thing, right? And there's very big clues in their programs. Their programs, the AA program, is massively successful, more successful than any other treatment for alcoholism, right? And why is that? Why is it so successful? Well, it's run by people who have all got the same shared experiences. And there is a massive clue on the first step that people should take. If you feel that it's a possibility, it doesn't even have to be a certainty in your mind. If you feel there is a possibility that you have a problem with alcohol or drugs, ask yourself these two questions, and it's the first step of AA, is admitting to yourself, right, that you have become powerless over alcohol or drugs in this circumstance, right? So have you got no power over it? Can you say no? Can you just up one day and say, I don't want to drink anymore, bang, and I'm not going to drink at all, right? Because a normal person can actually do that. A normal person can go, well, I'm going to work away for 6 months. I can't breathe over the limit at all while I'm at work. Give up alcohol, bang, no problem. If you can't do that, then it means that's your first clue to perhaps I actually have an issue here. And that is why it is such an important step in the AA process that people go into that first one. Am I powerless against alcohol? And the second part of the first step is, and has my life become unmanageable, right? And these are the two main clues that you're going to have, that there is actually an issue present, right? So for alcoholics, a lot of people think alcoholism means the everyday drinking, and I'm just drunk all the time. I get up, I have a drink, I'm hiding alcohol around the house, and certainly that is classic alcoholism, right? But there is other types. And the other types of alcoholism include things like binge drinking, where you cannot drink for a couple of days, but if you do have a drink, once you've had one drink, you cannot guarantee what the outcome of that night or day is. So often these types of drinkers will go a couple of days, or they'll go a work week without drink, and then sometimes they'll have a couple of drinks on the weekend, they'll be fine. But other times on the weekend, or even during the week if they have a drink, they'll have one drink, and then the next day they'll wake up in the gutter having, you know, with a black eye and just crash their car, trash, this type of thing, blackout drinking, and they won't remember it. And it is the inability to guarantee that that's not going to happen once they've had that first drink that's a different type of alcoholism. And then there's alcoholism, which is the constant drinking but never really getting drunk, but that causes mood changes and causes negative effects and creates unmanageability in your lifestyle. And those people as well can't say no to a drink when they're sitting around at home. If there's alcohol, they will empty the house of alcohol. Right? So there is different types of addiction, even within alcoholism and within narcotics use and this type of thing. But those two keys, that first step of AA, is my life becoming unmanageable? Am I powerless over alcohol? Or in the case of drugs, narcotics, or whatever it is. That is absolutely key. If you're in a relationship and you have no experience whatsoever with alcohol addiction, drug addiction, any of these issues, ask yourself those questions. Ask those questions of your partner. Are they powerless against drugs or alcohol? Is it causing their life to become unmanageable? And that's going to be really a very, very good clue as to whether there is an issue there. Now, you won't be able to self-diagnose this. Your partner will need to go and be around other people who understand these things. And that can include, and really the best place for it is NA or AA, right? Narcotics Anonymous or AA. And usually AA also takes on drug users as well, because it's a very, very similar type thing, right? So my advice, if you are finding yourself in a recurring pattern where you feel like drugs or alcohol are an issue within your relationship, that's the first steps. And then identify them together with love and say, look, honey, babe, I feel like this is something that's affecting us. I know it's affecting you, or you, I want to know how you feel about it affecting you. And let's ask those two questions together and do it as a couple. And the more you can inject this with love, the more that it's going to be successful outcomes. Because why do people get addicted? People get addicted to drugs and alcohol because they are carrying a pain body and they want to dull that pain with alcohol and drugs, whether it be masses of anxiety or true pain from the past. This is why a lot of people that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety get into the grog a lot, because they tend to use it as a self-medicating, as self-medication. They self-medicate with alcohol and drugs, right? Now, when you talk about alternatives, going to therapy, and AA is group therapy, that's what it is, it's Rogerian group therapy, that allows you to use that as a substitute to get rid of this pain. Right? So for most alcoholics, that is going to be a big part of the cure. And a certain amount of AA or a certain amount of one-on-one therapy, if you can afford to do therapy twice a week or on demand, which is, you know, not easy, but it can be done, then that is also going to go a long way to getting rid of that pain as well, which sometimes can solve the alcohol or drug issue. But there's certainly the first steps, I would say, look to, is it unmanageable? And do I not have control over alcohol or drugs? And if so, then I think it's time to look at getting some help together and doing it with love.
Great. I think that's brilliant information and a great insight. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I think you've just helped people that are maybe considering going to AA and wondering what it is to make that step, you know, giving that overview of a little bit more about what it's about. So thank you so much for that. And I think you really touched on a really important point. So as I mentioned, it's, you know, having those alternatives, but it's also, as you highlighted, about dealing with those deeper issues. I remember when I came to Dubai about 9 years ago, I went through a difficult time. The financial crisis was looming and I was feeling stressed, worried I was going to fail in my job. And I was really lonely. And during that time, my drinking did pick up quite heavily for a period of time. And it was to block out that emotional void, that loneliness that I felt inside. And so what you also can do, and obviously it helps if you do have support, but if you don't and you can't afford it or you're not ready for that support yet, is just to ask yourself before you pick up that drink, before you take that medication or the illegal drugs, before you take it, asking yourself, what am I really looking to do? What am I really looking to escape? What is it I'm really feeling? And get in touch with your emotions. And often you might come to, I'm lonely, I'm depressed, I feel like a failure, I'm worried, I'm stressed, I'm scared I'm going to lose my job, I'm scared I'm going to lose my partner, I'm scared I'm going to go broke, I'm angry at my mum, I'm angry at my dad, whatever it is. And ask yourself what it is. And then ask yourself, is this chemical going to make you, or is it going to make anything better? Maybe, by the next day. And all alcohol does, all drugs do, is they just hit that stopwatch. They put a pause on life. And that is not solving anything. And that's how people become more addicted. And that's how people, their lives become unmanageable, because they just hit a pause button on life. Your stresses of finances, of relationships, of difficult emotions to deal with are still going to be there the next day. And so unless you address them, unfortunately, unless you go through it, unless you actually feel it, then we're not ever going to recover. And the biggest emotion with this, and it's even more, I wouldn't say it's even more true, but it's I see it a lot, and that's grief. And grief is any loss, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's a loss of the relationship, whether it's a loss of the love you once had, whether it's the loss of a job, the loss of your health, the loss of finances. But when we experience loss, it's a natural human emotion to go through that grief, that devastation. And so many people try to bypass loss, try to bypass grief using substances, and all you do is you stop it for 10 hours, you stop it for 5 hours, you stop it for 3 hours, whatever time period it is, and it's still there. And then you stop it again, and you stop it again, and you stop it again. And I have some people come to me and they haven't grieved a parent dying or some other major loss in their life until about 3 or 4 years later, and sometimes even 10 or 20 years later. Whereas if they had the strength to feel those painful emotions, to not medicate, to sit there and cry, to sit there and feel those horrible feelings, and they are horrible, they can actually get through difficult times in months, not years, and then they're gone. So if you're going through anything right now, as I said, my heart goes out to you. It's a really difficult thing to deal with. I've gone through various different things and challenges in my life, and I have reached to drugs or alcohol to help me, and it hasn't helped at all, and it's just led things to keep unfolding and getting messier and messier. So it's having the guts to sit with your feelings, to find alternatives, and talking really helps. And that's why I thought it was wonderful you mentioned that about AA. It's a place to connect with people, to talk to people that have shared experiences. And you don't have to talk if you don't want to, but eventually you will find that when you do start talking, whether it's to an AA member or to a therapist, then you can. And for those of you listening, thinking, well, it's not me that has the addiction, it's my spouse, I'm listening because my spouse has a problem, then there is Al-Anon, which is a group for wives or husbands of alcoholics or other children of alcoholics, which is very helpful. And they also will probably help with the drugs as well, because it's a very open organization, or I don't know if you call it an organization, but it's a very open support group. They want to help anyone that wants to be there that needs support within this area. Eddie, I'm not sure if you've got anything else you would like to add for today on this episode of addictions and chemical dependency.
No, but thanks for sharing, Nicola, that yes, it's such important information for people. And I think this is a key one for every relationship to keep your eye on, to make sure that you're managing this in yourself, in your partner, and that you've got that supportive environment around you. And I really hope that we've helped some couples out there today. I really think that we've covered some strong issues here and some solid solutions, or at least some beginnings to how to move forward with these issues if they arise.
Great. Well, it was a pleasure being with you on this show, as always, and looking forward to doing our next episode.
Thanks, Nicola. Can't wait, and I'll see you guys then.
And I forgot to say, if you're struggling in your marriage right now and you want to get some resources, then visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com and go on the free section. There's a tab called free, and underneath that you can get the free ebook, The 7 Secrets to Saving Your Marriage. You can get a free meditation to forgive and let go. You can get a free video, The 10 Keys to Transforming Your Marriage, which is a 40-minute step-by-step guide on how to transform your marriage and what is needed if you are suffering in your relationship and you really want to make it a great one. And then there also is the free quiz, Can My Marriage Be Saved? So go ahead and take advantage of all of these free gifts available for you at www.savemymarriageprogram.com.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.